I'd like to ask you all a question this morning. How's your relationship with Christ? How is your relationship with Christ? We all have relationships within families and friends, within the body of Christ. We know what those relationships are. But I'd like for us to focus this morning on our personal relationship with Christ, because our spiritual health, our spiritual life directly depends on our ongoing relationship with Christ. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. We're going to look at that relationship as the Holy Spirit led the Apostle Paul, describing the relationship that we have with Christ and what it should be. So this is what we're looking at this morning. Before we study, let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this day and the blessings that you have bestowed upon us as we've worshiped you this morning, gathering together in Sunday school and then corporate worship here. Thank you for your presence here with us, your faithfulness to us, and your love for us as you demonstrate this every day. Now, Father, as we come to study your word, I pray that you will speak to our hearts by your Spirit from your word. Give us understanding of this passage in Romans and what it means to each of us personally and our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, what that means for us. And I pray for those here today who might think they have a relationship with Christ, knowing him as Savior, but do not. Oh Lord, reveal yourself to them, your love and your grace and mercy in Christ. We all have needs and concerns and anxieties, and so we cast all these upon you because you care for us. We desire to have your peace, that we may focus on you and be taught by your Holy Spirit. May you be honored in this time of worship as well. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let us stand for the reading of God's holy word, the book of Romans, chapter 5. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. Amen. You may be seated. My relationship with Christ, how is it? Well, first of all, let's look at the relationship that people have who are not believers in Jesus Christ, who are not believers. Turn back to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, let's look at verses 10 through 12. As it is written, no one is righteous, no, not one. No one understands God, no one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. Now look at verse 23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. At the fall of Adam in Genesis chapter 3 and the woman, all of mankind fell into sin. All of mankind became an enemy of God. And so the person that doesn't have Jesus Christ as Savior, they are an enemy of God. At one time, you and I were enemies of God. We hadn't always been believers, but we were an enemy of God. And so, any one of you here today who doesn't have Jesus as your Savior, You are an enemy of God. This is what God's Word says. Now, how about those of us who have Christ as our Savior? What does that mean for us to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? And this is where we go back to chapter 5, verse 1. We're going to look at verses 1 and 2. Because here's what we learn about what our relationship should be in Christ. In verse 5, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, let's look at this. We have been justified. The way this verb form is that we didn't declare ourselves not guilty of sin. We've been declared not guilty of sin by someone. And that person is God. Justified has two meanings here. Now, first of all, it means that we have been put in a condition of righteousness before God. We have been put in a condition of righteousness before God. In other words, we have believed that Jesus is God's Son. He has come. He has died for our sins. He satisfied the wrath of God, the judgment of God on our sin. He took that on Himself. He gave His life for us. He was died. He buried. He raised from the dead. And He ascended into heaven. And so that faith in Jesus Christ and believing who He is and what He accomplished on our behalf and trusting in Him alone for salvation, the righteousness of Christ is imputed into us, which makes us acceptable to the Father. That's one part of this definition. We're justified. We're declared not guilty of sin because of what Christ has done for us. Now, there's another meaning. It means to be pronounced and treated as righteous. Not only does God pronounce us not guilty, but He treats us as not guilty. When He looks at us, He sees us through Christ. And He treats us as we are in Christ, His children. He loves the fellowship with us as His children. He wants us to come and to worship Him on the Lord's Day, to walk with Him on a daily basis, to pray, to give praises, to honor His holy and majestic name. And He treats us in a loving, caring way. Now, we also must realize, how many of you have ever gotten a whipping when you were growing up? Oh my goodness, there's only one person in a minute. Well, two. Y'all are not saints in that matter. I know that. I got my share. It's my brother's fault. He got me in trouble. But we all had our whippings. And how many of you heard these words as you were getting the living tar beaten out of you? This hurts me more than you. I'm doing this because I love you. Part of being treated as a child of God is discipline. He disciplines us because He loves us. And part of that discipline is to continually conform us to the image of Jesus Christ. So being justified by faith in Christ alone means we're declared not guilty. Thank the Lord that we're not guilty of this sin that we are guilty of. That Jesus Christ has satisfied the wrath of God on our behalf. So we're not guilty. And then He loves us so much that there are times in our lives that we need to be disciplined. And so He disciplines us that we may be living our lives in a way that's pleasing and honoring to Him. So this is what this word means. Since we have been justified by faith. By faith here, faith means the confidence in Christ alone for our salvation. By faith, complete confidence and trust in Jesus Christ alone. You and I trust in Jesus alone, nothing else. I don't trust in the fact that I'm a believer, that I'm a pastor, that I'm the pastor of this church. None of that counts. None of it. Only confidence, complete and total confidence in Christ. It's out of that faith that we're also justified, because we believe God and take Him for His Word. He did that for us. We go back and see that we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace with God. I like the verb to have, because it means to possess. And it's in the present tense. So we possess it all the time. We have peace. Paul says it's a peace of heart and mind which surpasses all understanding. Who can understand it? And whatever you and I might be going through, doesn't matter what degree that we're facing in difficulties and anxieties and trials, in the depth of our heart, because of our faith in Christ, we have that peace. Because it depends not on outward circumstances. It depends on our personal faith and our personal relationship in Jesus Christ. It's all about relationship and that relationship with Christ. Now, let's go back to chapter 5. Look at verse 2. Through Him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. That is, in Christ, through Christ alone, we have access by faith into this grace. The word access is an interesting word here. The word access means access to someone in a very high position. Now, stop and think about this. The relationship that you and I have with Christ, you and I have access to the true and living God who created everything, who sustains everything, who's sovereign over all of life. You have access, I have access to our Heavenly Father 24/7. You don't have to wait till Sunday to pray or to sing praises to His name or to give Him thanks or to go to Him and say, help. You and I can do that all the time. And you know what? You don't have to hit number one or number two or number three. You just pour your heart out to the Lord, because you and I, because of our personal relationship with Christ, have access to the true and living God. Wow, just think about that for a little bit. We have access to Him. What's it by? By faith. That same faith, that same confidence we have. That access into this grace in which we stand. Into this grace in which we stand. This grace in which we stand, the verb to stand means immovable. No one, nothing can remove you or me from that grace in which we have in Christ. Our lives can be taken. We can be frustrated and hurt, but we can't be removed from the grace of God, that eternal security that we have in Christ. You and I cannot be removed from that because of that personal relationship that we have. This is what we have as believers in Christ. So precious do we have this. Now, notice here, we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. The hope also meaning, and it's not, well, I hope so. No, it's a definite hope. It's confidence in Christ. This is what we have. Now, what is this all based on? Look at chapter 5, verses 10 and 11. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more now that we are reconciled, Shall we be saved through His faith? Two things in verse 10 that are so important. We've looked at Romans 3, said there's none righteous, no, not one. That we're enemies of Christ. And here, Paul says again in verse 10 that we were enemies of God. Look at that. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, so much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by His life. That reconciliation, that relationship that was broken by Adam and the woman, who caused us to fall into sin and to be an enemy of God until such time that God effectually works in our hearts and brings us to a saving knowledge of Christ. We were enemies. But once we come to Christ as our Savior, we're no longer enemies. We're His children. We are His child. That relationship that was once an adversarial with God opposed to us has become one of love and reconciliation. That relationship that was broken and destroyed has been restored. That relationship is strong and is eternal. Now, brothers and sisters in Christ, as we live day by day, and the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin, and we do not confess it, that is the sin, and we do not repent, what happens to that relationship? It's hurt. It's awkward. It's distant. Hence the seriousness of dealing with the sin that so easily entangles us and causes us to harm that relationship with Christ. We need to take sin so seriously that anytime the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin, we confess that to the Lord. We repent and we ask for forgiveness. And when we do that, you and I are forgiven. And that relationship becomes restored and stronger than it was before. And so when we come to the sacrament of the Lord's Supper and we talk about and we think about my personal relationship with Christ, first and foremost, we are reminded by the bread that that's the body of Christ. And He's taken our sin upon Himself. He's removed that from us. Secondly, in the body of Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ satisfied the wrath of God on our behalf. When Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? God's holy and just and righteous wrath was directed on His only begotten Son, so we would never have to experience the wrath of God on our sin. Paul says there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. So that relationship has been repaired and restored, and it's all by what Christ has done in His body on our behalf. And we don't deserve it. Think about it. We don't deserve it. And then we take that juice, the blood of Christ, the blood that was shed. We're told in Leviticus 17 that life is in the blood. And so when Jesus shed His blood, He gave His life. He died that we may live. He poured His life out that we would have life. Removing that sin, washing us in His blood, causing us to be cleansed. That's all because of the relationship that you and I have. Think about that when you hold that cup of juice and that reconciliation of that relationship from enemy to child, from being opposed and hated to love and mercy and grace. That's what we have in Christ. That's what my personal relationship. And that's what your personal relationship means to you and your relationship with Christ. We're told that when we come to the table of the Lord in 1 Corinthians 11, Paul, as he was given instructions from the Holy Spirit, said, let one examine himself before he comes to the table, lest he eat and drink unworthily and cause condemnation upon himself or herself. God is holy, and we come to worship Him, and we repent and confess sin. And when we come to the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, remembering Christ, we have this strong exhortation to examine our hearts. And I would ask that each of you, in just a moment, examine your heart before the Lord. Whatever sin the Holy Spirit would bring to your heart and mind, you confess that to the Lord. You repent and you ask for forgiveness, and you will be forgiven. And then we partake of the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. So anyone here today, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you trust in Him alone for salvation, and you examine your heart, and you confess your sin and repent, you come to the table. You partake of the sacrament. If you're not a believer, no, do not partake. You're condemned. And your judgment would be even harsher because of your take of the sacrament. But I would encourage you to confess that you are a sinner to God, that you believe that Jesus is God's Son, that He died for your sin and was raised from the dead, and you have eternal life. Then you partake of the sacrament. So let's prepare to observe the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. I would ask the ruling elders who are serving today, if you will come forward and be seated on the front. And as the elders come, let's bow in prayer. Let's examine our hearts before God. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we thank You that we have been reconciled with You through the Lord Jesus Christ. And because of that reconciliation, we have peace with You. We are sinful people, and we come before You to remember the Lord Jesus Christ and observe the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. So we confess our sin and ask for forgiveness of our sin and cleansing from all unrighteousness, that we come to worship You in the righteousness of Christ, cleansed by His blood, filled with His Spirit, to honor You for the life that we have in Christ. May this time of our worship be pleasing and honoring to You, as You work in us both to will and to do of Your good pleasure. And this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. From the night in which the Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed, He was observing the Passover with His disciples in the upper room. And He took the bread, and after He had given thanks, He broke it and said, take, eat, this is My body given for you. Do this in remembrance of Me. Father in heaven, we humble ourselves in your presence and give you great thanks for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom you sent into the world to take the sin of your people upon himself, to satisfy your holy and just and righteous judgment upon our sin. Oh Lord, and then you raised him from the dead that we might have life in him. I set aside this bread as a symbol of the body of Christ. I pray, Father, that by the faith that you've given to us, that you will nurture and strengthen us as we remember the Lord Jesus Christ. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let us commune together.
In the same way also he took the cup, and after supper he said to his disciples, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Almighty God and Father in heaven, we bow together to thank you for this proclamation of your word that we have in our hands, that you died on our behalf, Lord Jesus, and that your blood has made atonement between us and God for our sins. Father, I set aside now this cup as a sign of the holy work of Jesus, as a sign of the blood of the new covenant that brings between us and God, between man and God, peace and grace. And this cup seals that grace as we receive it by faith. And we give you thanks and praise for the life that we have together through Jesus with God, now and forevermore. Amen. Let us commune together.
Let us remember the words in Romans 5. Since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be and abide with each and every one of you now and forevermore. Amen.